The use of bevacizumab in advanced non-small cell lung cancer was debated at the European Congress on Lung Cancer being held here in Turin. I met up with the two principal speakers, Nick Thatcher and Christian Manigold. Firstly, I asked Christian about the data he and others have published in the landmark trials of monoclonal antibodies in lung cancer. Just what is the evidence for using bevacizumab?
I think the evidence comes from two randomized phase 3 trials, the ECOG 4599 trial and the AVEIL trial. Both trials have the same intention to test Avastin in combination with standard chemotherapy, with different standard chemotherapies. In the AVEIL trial, we have gemcitabine cis as a more accepted European standard. And in the other study, it was a study mainly conducted in the US, the ECOG 4599. They used carbotax in combination with Avastin. And there was also a difference in dosing. We used two dosages, and the Americans just had one 50 milligram per kilogram dose.
Could you summarize the outcomes of these two studies?
Both studies are positive studies in my mind. They had different endpoints. The American study had progression-free survival and overall survival at the primary endpoint, and they both had a significant superiority for the Avastin. And in the AVEIL trial, progression-free survival was the endpoint, and there was also statistically significant superiority for the combination, the triplet.
Certain patients were more likely to benefit than others. Were there any conditions on whether you would use bevacizumab?
No, I think there is, as far as the study, we had a very strict exclusion and inclusion criteria. And as I already mentioned, there is no, at least as far as progression-free survival, no significant difference in all the factors you investigate in a pre-planned subgroup analysis. So no trouble with age, no trouble with gender.
Now, if I could bring you, Nick Thatcher, in on this, I'd like to come back to you in a moment, Christian, if I may. But do you see any difficulties with these analyses that you've heard so far?
Well, they were both very well conducted, large randomized phase 3 trials. The one difficulty that we have is that in general, we like to see two trials in the same direction. In the AVEIL trial, we still do not have the overall survival result, and we don't know the clinical relevance of a PFS, which is not supported by any quality of life data. So although both trials hit their primary endpoints, the big issue is, what is the clinical meaningfulness of both trials? The other point I just make is that there are some pretty strict entry criteria and exclusion criteria which are somewhat unusual in oncology, and therefore for this drug to be used safely, the doctors have to be very, very careful on selecting the right patients.
Now, there are things like hypertension. The age of the patient is relevant too, isn't it?
Yes, it's. I think I totally agree and see all the points Nick Thatcher just made. I think we have to be pragmatic, and we in large trials, as I also made clear in my talk, we have the problem not to foresee everything which we obtain at the end of the day, and we have to be pragmatic. It's a very difficult to treat disease, and we have to be happy with small steps forward.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, there's a huge research effort in expanding the knowledge base for Avastin, which is very welcome. It is the trailblazer drug. It was my job to knock it a bit in this debate, but quite frankly, in the suitable patients, I think it does actually have a place.
We have been hearing at this very meeting here in Turin that chemotherapy has improved greatly in recent history, the past decade or so. And on top of this, we now have drugs like bevacizumab. Could I ask both of you where we stand? Is the whole situation for treating advanced and metastatic lung cancer much better now?
Oh, yes. I think if we compare to 15 years ago, we are doing better today. We know much more about risk factors, prognostic factors, and also how to treat in specific situations. But on the other hand, it is clear that we still not able to offer something which could be, you know, acceptable for a everyday physician in oncology. There's a great need for improvement still. So, you know, even so, we realize that we do make step forwards, but as I said, these steps are small steps.
And in which patients do you think bevacizumab might be justified?
Well, certainly the non-squamous pathologies, patients who don't have the risk factors that were identified in the clinical trials. And just to come on to your question that Christian had, I think there have been amazing advance actually just over the last 2 to 3 years in the adenocarcinoma, or rather the non-squamous cell subtype, because we're seeing really quite interesting improvements in survival in that particular pathology.
Do either of you see that there is more scope these days for individualizing treatment depending on things like histology and other factors?
No doubt about that.
And how much can you gain from doing that?
Okay, we are more safe as far as, and we are more effective. I think this is what Nick Thatcher just mentioned. The situation in adenocarcinoma has greatly improved, and I think also our understanding about biology, and I think this is no doubt of benefit for our daily practicing oncologists.
Yep, well, I mean that says it all. The next area is to improve the treatment of squamous cell pathologies.
Nick Thatcher from the Christie Hospital in Manchester, and before him, Christian Manigold of Heidelberg University in Mannheim. They've been talking with me here in Turin at the European Congress on Lung Cancer. I'm Peter Goodwin of the Audio Journal of Oncology.